This podcast was recorded on May 23rd, 2020.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and people outside the binary. This is Less Stupid with Thomas Huda, a show that's completely uncut, uncensored, and unchained by the respectability politics of running for office. What a fun time it's been running for mayor of Eugene in my beautiful hometown that I love, that you can see we are here at right now. This is recorded at Chamotí, which is the Kalapuya indigenous name for Spencer Butte, the most beautiful peak in all of Eugene. And I'm here with a good friend of mine, Tiger Gruber, who you may have seen on episode 158 before. How you feeling, Tiger?
Couldn't be better.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I'm feeling good today.
You're so good at hiking compared to me.
Yeah.
We had to take so many breaks for me.
You know what? I don't even mind it. Because everyone I hike with, like, I actually like taking breaks. It's more work. Because what's the point of just getting to the top fast? Mm. I need to remember to keep... You know what?
Wow.
The mask's already coming off, people.
Wow.
That quick.
Future song. Mask off already.
Mask on.
We are sitting 6 feet apart, though. Lane County's in phase one of reopening right now. I think our state government has done a relatively great job, especially when you think about the cases that we have. It's pretty low compared to a lot of places, but also just being really conscientious and making sure that the rollout of reopening follows medical and scientific guidelines for success.
Yeah, so, 100%. No.
Yeah.
I mean, there's what, 0 to 1 new cases a day? Like, we're good.
It's pretty good.
I'm still being careful, but
yeah,
at some point you got to stop caring.
I think a lot of the
not stop caring, but maybe not let it just control your life.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of where it starts to hit home for me is when I see people who tend to have like grandparents or sometimes parents who have died.
Yeah,
you know, because the disease has affected elderly people a lot more.
What's absolutely brutal is I saw. Because, I mean, I go to Winco, I wear a mask. I'm not that, like, I don't care about it. I mean, just, like, I'm outside in nature. I was at Winco.
You seem so interested, and not to interrupt you, sabotaging your appearances on my show. Last time, straight out the gate, you were like, yeah, I'm practically alt-right.
Yeah. And I'm, like, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, but for this one, I mean, I wore a mask at Winco, but there was a very old, heavy lady with literally oxygen in her nose. No mask, no gloves.
Doesn't everybody have oxygen in their nose, literally?
No, you know what I mean. Like the one of those...
like a tube.
Like an actual tube with a tank that she put in her cart. And I was like, fascinated. It was like mid-March, too. That was like the peak of the terror. I was like, bold move, Cotton.
Unusual. Cotton reminds me of King of the Hill.
I don't actually know where that quote's from. As soon as I said it, I'm like, is that a quote?
Oh, it's Dodgeball, dude.
Okay, thank God.
True underdog story from, I think, 2004.
Beautiful.
Excellent movie. Boy, we could talk for a long time about those comedies that used to come out in that era. That was a great time for filmmaking. But what I wanted to do in a slightly unorthodox and unusual way for the pod
is ask me my controversial opinion that I can get over really quickly to keep continuity.
Of course. That's precisely what I was going to do.
So what it is, I keep hearing stories about people who overdose on, fentanyl-laced drugs.
Right.
And I may have said this publicly.
It's like 1,000 times stronger than meth, right?
It's an opiate. Heroin. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sure it is stronger than meth as well. Mm. But so what people should start doing is just taking fentanyl, because then you know it won't be laced with anything. And if it's not laced with anything, how are you going to overdose? You know the proper dose to not die. And I'm not advocating anyone doing it.
You literally said people should start taking fentanyl. What people should start doing, and I'm not advocating it.
I'm just meaning like instead, that'd be a possible answer to the heroin overdoses due to being sliced in with fentanyl. Is just go for the strongest one. You know it can't possibly be cut with anything stronger.
Unusual, but
controversial.
I really can't validate any of what you just said.
I
really
don't
feel comfortable saying.
When I come on your show, I try to say the actual most controversial opinion I have.
I do like that you kept continuity there, because that is a question I ask people to try to make an exciting and engaging conversation happen off the rip. But this episode is largely a recap, and I don't know, like, it's COVID-19. We haven't had the chance to, I didn't get to do an in-person event for election night, at which point I would have probably given a little concession speech or a little video that I put out. But I'm keeping consistent with how we have acted throughout the campaign, which is, I had a couple of little short rap videos and things like that. But for the most part, you know, we're doing long form conversation with people around the community, creative leaders, I would say, like yourself. You're a musician and also a successful podcaster with Talks with Tiger. You're even wearing a t-shirt of it, which is great. Also with talking with sort of electoral and political leaders and thinkers. It's been a lot of fun. the campaign went really well, and I felt like instead of just talking into a camera, I wanted to share with you and with the audience what that whole experience was like, pretty much from the beginning and through the end. So I have a few little notes on my alternate smartphone that is not filming this episode, and I just wanted to talk about the race. There were 7 candidates for mayor of Eugene, and on May 19th, the results came through, and it turned out that I placed in 2nd. So that was a really exciting experience, and I received 4,856 votes. So that was pretty fantastic in my view. I was and really appreciative of that. Because when you look at how little money and infrastructure any of the challengers' campaigns had, we did a good job of raising issues and of bringing up things that we want to see happen in Eugene. And I feel like everybody involved cares a lot, and that they're not just going to go away forever. Just to break down the numbers, so Mayor Vinnis, Lucy Vinnis, congratulations to her. She was reelected. When I was early on deciding what race I wanted to run, it wasn't that I immediately thought the best thing to do is run for mayor at 26. Like, that's it's a self-aggrandizing kind of ambitious thing to do. But I also genuinely felt like that was a race where I didn't see anybody stepping up at the time to challenge the incumbent. And in Eugene, we've got a friendly culture, you know, so people don't often challenge people who are in office. A lot of time you get your ballot and it's like a bunch of people, even for city council or maybe not county commissioner, but sometimes
I have noticed that you only have the one option. I'm like, well, what's the point?
Sure, exactly. In many of those situations, unless it's a person I really, really appreciate having in office, I write in somebody. Because I like to see choice and competition, and I know that it's like, okay, they're going to get 98 or sometimes even 99% of the vote, unless they're a controversial person. But like, you know, there's a difference between getting 99.3% and like 97.8%, you know, and sometimes that can demonstrate how appreciative people are of the tenure that you have in office.
Yeah.
For example, also like last time that we had a mayoral race, it was 2016 in Eugene, and there were 5 candidates and there was no incumbent running because Mayor Piercy had stepped down. Well, she had decided not to pursue reelection. And so we had we only had about 300 write-in votes. Oh, wow. This time we had over 1,000 write-in votes. So it kind of says something about whether people really felt like they trusted anybody on the ballot.
Yeah. Maybe I should have ran.
I mean,
so they do mayor every 4 years then?
Yes.
Looking forward to seeing you in 2024.
We'll see.
You and Bernie again.
I would have had to have done a lot by then to demonstrate leadership in this community, because I think a lot of the experiences that I have that were relevant to this race are experiences I had in college and in grad school and in New York and in Minnesota, where I've done a lot of policy and representing people and winning elections and making change.
Which would be outdated in 4 years, or?
It's just that people don't think it's very connected to here. Yeah. You know, people, you know, and honestly, there's like kind of a reciprocal relationship between the media and the electorate, right? So people in the media, the Register Guard and the Weekly and whatnot, they basically covered this race very little, very little. And when the Register Guard covered it, for people who don't know who are listening outside of Eugene, perhaps, Register Guard is kind of our conventional daily newspaper, and then the Eugene Weekly has actually surpassed it in readership.
Oh, wow.
But is like kind of our alternative weekly zine that comes out.
Is the Register Guard free?
No.
Oh, so that makes sense why the Eugene Weekly would be bigger.
Also, yeah,
I like the Eugene Weekly. It's a really cool.
It's got a lot of stuff going for it, and it's been doing a good job for a long time in the community. It's not to say it's without issues, but you know, anybody with power is going to be influenced by factors that aren't, I don't know.
Not even conscious. I mean, they could just have an opinion without all the facts. We're all saying things without all the facts. Anytime you make a statement of like, oh, I think, you know, this direct case should go this way or that way. Like, you actually don't know all the sides. So
sure.
But they're just doing their best. That's the whole point of just kind of creating civil discourse.
Right. And you mentioned before, you were like kind of half jokingly, but maybe not jokingly, saying media is considered essential. So what we're doing right now is considered essential work.
That's why I'm not masked up.
Okay.
On a Tuesday.
Okay. it's been hard for them, I'm sure, to cover a race that has been a little non-conventional because we haven't been able to campaign in the same ways. We did an extraordinarily efficient campaign, especially when you talk about votes per dollar or dollars per vote, which I crunched those numbers a little bit, and I'm going to read them. Credit to Mayor Lucy Vinnis. She was able to... We're talking about this race like it's done because in the mayoral race it is. If any competitor gets more than 50% of the vote in the May primary, then the race is done, which... As mayor, I basically said that I would have changed that. I would have made it, even though it would have protected me as someone seeking re-election in the future. I think it's less democratic to have a race be able to be decided in May, because that's not when the presidential election is happening, and we don't have a very, very big turnout.
That'd be nuts if Trump got 50% of votes. There wouldn't even be a primary,
right?
Or a main race,
right? Absolutely. Well, I mean, he got 99% of the votes for Republican primaries in states all over the country. So, I agree with you. So comparatively, we spent about $250 outside of the state voter pamphlet, which doesn't get factored into campaign finance. So if you spend less than $750 outside of that pamphlet, then you don't have to report your finances. So that's nice. I didn't have to have a treasurer because I wasn't fucking with money like that.
Yeah. How many copies of that voter pamphlet are you keeping just for keepsake?
You know, I only have one. I have the city one and the state one.
Find more. Get more.
the PDFs will live on. PDFs will live on. A lot of the stuff I archive in my personal life is digitized anyway.
Mine gets so cluttered.
Can you guess how many dollars Mayor Vinnis spent?
$6,000.
You're probably
going
to overguess.
Oh, $3,000.
It's not quite... Sorry, what grand did you...
I said $6,000 and then I changed it to $3,000 when you said I'd overguess.
Try 80.
No way!
Yeah, in the mayoral race, $80,000. To be reelected mayor, a position that doesn't have a lot of executive power.
Doesn't it make $20,000 a year or something
like 24.
What?
Yeah. I mean, think about, that's a great point because it's more than three times what the salary is.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty much what she makes the entire 4 years she's in there. Minus $10,000, $5,000. That's absurd.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about democracy from that perspective, it's a little bit scary, I guess, to think that you have to fork up that much money to win a little local office like that.
Yeah.
And so she got, so I said I had 4,856 votes, which was 10.24% of the vote, which I was happy to be the only challenger who reached
double digits.
So that was exciting. And I spent, very little money, but all the other challengers didn't spend money either. Mayor Vinnis, though, got 31,878 votes, which was 67% of the vote.
It's like $2.50 per dollar. $2.50 per vote.
Wow, that's a really good math.
$2.40 or something crazy like that.
How did you do? And I just calculated that on my phone like hours ago, and you like just got it off the bat. She spent $2.51 per vote.
Oh, nice. I guess I should have stayed with my... That's absurd, because yours is like way... I'm not even going to do the math, because 10...
I'm ready to let you know. She did $2.51 per vote. My dollars per vote was $0.05.
Yeah, not counting the $600 pamphlet.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's killer.
Which doesn't alter it all that much, especially when you look at... So here, let me flip it. Votes per dollar. She got 0.4 votes per dollar. Technically 0.398 votes per dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So not very many. And I got 19.4 votes per dollar.
Killer.
That's pretty cool.
Where'd you spend your money? Like you printed out some flyers, but I never saw them up around town.
Very small little business cards, home printed business cards that were kind of double length. And those I used to distribute to people when I saw them throughout the campaign when we were allowed to do that, right?
Yeah, after a show that you and I did, I saw you kind of pitch yourself to someone who remembered you you came back right there at the store.
We're building, man. We're crawling up the mountain, you know? So hopefully, you know, be able to continue to build relationships with people and sort of demonstrate to people that I really care a lot and that I have the skills needed to jump into some kind of elected office again, which I did a lot in student government. But the other costs were, for example, the website. So maintaining the website, the domain name, huda2020.org, as well as a few different hats that I bought when I thought that would be a big part of my campaign. Yeah. That was a little early on.
Worked for Trump. Was that the logic? I mean, that's good logic, actually.
People who saw the last episode with Zondi Zinke will know that I had one that was a red hat, and it was H-A-T-T, and it was Humanity and Tough Truths, rather than M-A-G-A for MAGA, for Make America. Well, we don't even need to say the full title, because, you know, I don't hate Trump supporters, but I certainly think that that's really problematic rhetoric when you're like, yeah, America needs to go back to when a lot of civil rights and social justice initiatives were not enacted. You and I probably have like slightly differing takes about a lot of social justice things, though, too.
I couldn't agree with that view more, though. I don't think America's ever been better than it is today.
Mm.
How about bring America into the future?
Mm.
That's a way better. I mean, that's a horrible logo.
B-A-I-T-F. BAITF.
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 Yeah. Leap America forward. Laugh. See, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah. Laugh. So, I mean, and also just thinking about, yeah, of course, 4,800 votes is small in the scheme of, like, did I really think I was going to win the election? You know, it would have been amazing to see the mayor of Venice, to see nobody get 50% and to be able to push the race on, because in a 1v1 situation, who knows how many votes I would have been able to get.
You don't know 4,000 people in Eugene. You have people who you've never met and campaigned for.
That's literally another thing I wrote. How are you fucking knowing everything that I was thinking about saying in case there was a lull in chat?
I signed into your Google Docs once. I never signed out.
Perfect.
I'm kidding.
Perfect. Well, luckily for me, I don't type a lot of stuff on Google. I don't feel like letting Google into my life that much. And I think that there were a lot of disadvantages that our campaign experienced. I mean, obviously that's the case, but there are some things that people might not have considered too much too. One of them being, I'm pretty deeply rooted in Eugene. I was the only candidate who grew up in Eugene, but growing up in the River Road community for my whole life of living in Eugene, a lot of that's unincorporated Lane County.
Yep.
It's not within city of Eugene limits.
You're not downtown Eugene,
no.
Whitaker, Hoodlum.
No.
But you also weren't born here. You're like Leslie Knope in that way, aren't you?
I mean, Leslie Knope was also not born in Eugene, yeah.
No, she wasn't born in Pawnee. Yeah, that was okay. A really big like episode plot one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where she was running and she's like, you weren't even born here. You were born slightly somewhere else.
That's funny. She's funny. I would love to get more into that show.
I was born in
Hamamatsu,
times.
Japan, and I moved here when I was almost 2 years old.
But you moved here,
yeah, dude.
You on your
I
own,
swam.
Little 2 year old's like, I'm gonna go move.
And so that was something where a lot of people would come to me and be like, they send me messages like, you weren't on my ballot, or I really wish I could vote for you, but I live in River Road, which is mostly not in Eugene.
So people in the Whitaker couldn't vote for you.
Actually, the Whitaker is basically entirely incorporated, which is all actually the same ward. Ward 7 represented
people,
by Claire Syrett.
So people were...
The Whitaker is not River Road.
I thought you meant only people in unincorporated, like River Road, could vote for you.
No, those are people who could
couldn't.
Not.
Yeah, because I thought you lived in unincorporated. Only other unincorporateds could vote for you. I got
no,
it mixed
I
up.
Have an address that's in Ward 1, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Tim's place.
Tim. I mean, okay, let's get to the other races, because... I think we're probably like limiting our audience if we only talk about like this kid who like ran this like somewhat narcissistic campaign for mayor and
who I backed from day one.
Yeah.
You came on my show and you kind of said it. I'm like, yes, do it.
I love it. I mean, that at that point I was hustling for every vote I could get. So Ward 1, 2, 7, and 8, we're all up for election this time around. And out of those four races, Ward 1 is the only one that's still undecided. The other ones all had a definitive winner with somebody getting more than 50% of the vote.
Oh, wow.
With Ward 1, we had, I'll say in the order of how many votes they got. Emily Semple got the most. She's the incumbent. She's the only slug queen who's ever been on city council. She's a pretty cool person.
It's a slug queen.
It's really hard to explain.
Hate salt?
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
But it's like a very goofy, silly conglomeration of mostly older aged women in Eugene who they do like this slug queen pageant, I think. So it's a lot of fun and they dress silly and it's an acronym for something. But so then Eliza Kaczynski, a political newcomer, ran a very successful campaign, coming in second place. Tim Morris came in third with a little over 15% of the vote. And then in fourth, I believe we had Candace King, and then Leah Williams, both of whom there were on the Solidarity platform that ran together. And then Sean Dwyer finished in sixth.
I do want to delve into Zondi Zinke and the platform, but for a second, I completely spaced. Who got second place again?
Eliza Kaczynski.
And how many votes, or what percent?
I don't have the numbers off my head.
Oh, because you said Tim got 15. But
yes.
So was he close to, because now it's Elijah against the incumbent.
It's Eliza. Yeah, and Eliza. She, I want to say roughly that Semple got about 40% or close to 40%. Wow. Eliza got something around 30. Oh, okay. And Tim got about 15.
Yeah, Tim didn't almost overtake her. I was rooting for you, man.
It was... And actually, what I heard through the grapevine, somebody said that Tim said that he actually out-fundraised everybody. So it was an example. And also, he and Eliza both had the endorsements of Kitty Piercy.
Did you try to get that?
No, I did not. Great question with endorsements in general, man. I really did not seek endorsements very much.
My name's up on Tim's website as endorsing him.
Nice. My name is up on Kate Davidson's website.
Sick.
That's a perfect segue into Ward 2. We had Kate Davidson, who was also a previous guest on the show. I should have an encyclopedic knowledge of the episode numbers when I talk about people, but I don't. Sure, if you want. Kate Davidson ran against Matt Keating. Both of them had never run for Eugene City Council before, but Matt Keating had like 8 years
or so. What's the name of your show again? I'm kidding.
Matt, he's a nice guy.
Kate Davidson's 164.
Thank you. 164 for Kate. That was a Zoom chat. And it was the first Zoom chat, and so it was a
They're not the same.
They're not the same, exactly, especially because you have to stutter and stumble over, like,
the delay.
Interrupting other people.
The delay is brutal.
Yes, it is.
Unbelievably. It ruins a conversation.
See, right now, there's nothing wrong with us kind of talking right up against each other.
No,
but,
it's just my own mental poor speak that I just keep cutting people off.
That's great. So congrats to Matt Keating in that race. He won with, I want to say, like, it was... probably like at least a 10 point margin between him and Kate in Ward 2. In Ward 7, we had Douglas Barr, Cliff Gray, and Claire Syrett. Cliff Gray came in third, Douglas Barr came in second. And Cliff is a really good guy. He's a housing advocate and an advocate for renters. And he's a former Bay Area school bus driver, I believe. Douglas Barr also drives, but he drives deliveries for Food for Lane County. And Claire Syrett is the incumbent, who has now won a third term. So congrats to her. She ran like a very minimal campaign. I don't think I saw a single yard sign, but she's pretty well respected in the ward.
I saw one for Venice driving here.
Yeah, right up here.
Not to completely derail you, but what else I saw is every single driveway really explicitly says private driveway. Keep going forward. Specifically because I was using Google Drive Google to get here, and it told me to go down someone's driveway, and they had a big gate, big sign that says this way. I'm like, that would suck. If literally Google Maps told everyone who's trying to go on a hike that it's your house, that's the one.
Oh, yeah. I think I did see that one where
it was like PV Road or something. It was
brutal. Yeah. I feel bad for that person.
Who do you contact? Do you call Google? Hey, can you change this?
I don't even know who the CEO of Google is. I was going to say, get me blankety blank.
It's Larry and Sergey. Okay. Sergey.
Cool. You're on first name basis with them.
Yes. Well, I think it's like a really common thing to say both their first name, but that might even be their last names.
Right.
I obviously missaid both their names.
Moving on to Ward 8, that was another two-person race like Ward 2, and it was two people who I have a lot of respect for. Randy Groves won the race. He is the former fire chief and has about 32 years of experience with the fire department and serving the community in that way. He touted a lot his experience with bringing Eugene and Springfield's fire departments together, uniting them, making supposedly more efficient and stronger service throughout the community for less money. So congrats to his win there. That was a close one. That was the closest of, that was probably the closest of any of the council races that got decided. He ran against a really formidable first time opponent, somebody who I have become friends with a little bit, named Ryan Moore, who I really hope to see continuing to do good work. He was a co-founder of Our Revolution Lane County, and the Eugene Springfield Tenants Association with Tim Morris. Best friends with Tim. You should get Ryan on your show if he's interested in some time, but I don't know if he would want to do that anymore.
Why? Cause he didn't win.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe he would. He's a really articulate speaker, and because this is a free speech show, though, I'm showing love for Ryan, but I also want to say something that I thought was pretty funny that like gave me a slight chip on my shoulder with regard to Ryan.
Yeah, what up?
Which so many months ago, he had like made a criticism of me, which is fair. A lot of people do that. And his was that he wished that I would focus more on policy instead of, I don't remember, like self-promo or antics or something like that. And that's a fair criticism to make, because at that time I didn't have very many policies on my site.
But
I
knew that overboard with the 64. Yeah, one.
I went Yang style, man.
Yeah, you did.
You want to bust on the scene as a, let's say, as an Asian American outsider who no one takes seriously too.
Yeah, like you mirrored his campaign in quite a few ways.
Well, I focused on humanity a lot too. So thank you for noticing that. But funny thing is, I went to his site afterwards and I was like, I want to know what plans he had. Mm-hmm. Dude, like there was like 5 points and they were each like had a paragraph only. And there was very little explicit articulation of policies.
I don't like Yang one bit. I can respect him as a human being, but I wouldn't want him as a leader. I would take him over either.
Do you think he's cringe or something? Is that...
The thing
you just
that
don't
most...
like his personality? Those policies I was talking about more, by the way.
Oh
yeah, more.
I thought you were saying
no,
Yang.
Had,
like, really?
Yang had much more
that?
Depth.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. But again,
it'd be like you coming on my show and bashing Kanye. I don't need to do it.
Right. So just keeping it real, you know, that was something where I felt like, if he wanted to, give himself the best chance, he would live up to the advice that he gave me and have more depth there. But it was a close race. He was endorsed by the DPL, the Democratic Party of Lane County, and branded himself as the only progressive in the race. Ultimately didn't come through. Ward 8 is largely West Eugene, a little more industrial flavor, not as ardently progressive as say Ward 1 or 2, or 7 for that matter. So that's that recap. Also some very important races that occurred, the U.S. Congress and the Lane County Commissioners were both decided for at least the Democratic Party for Congress, where Peter DeFazio won resoundingly over Doyle Canning. Doyle Canning ran a very impressive race and one that really focused on grassroots energy, no corporate dollars, making climate change the centerpiece of the campaign, possibly for the first time. Actually, they had touted that maybe it was the first time in history, but I don't know. I don't know that that's true, that a person running for Congress made climate change their number one issue. Well,
Albert Lee did that too. So is she the first? They ran at the same time.
It's you know, a lot of these campaigns will it's hard to access like a database. You know,
I think it's whoever wins with climate change as their primary thing really gets the prize. Because I could have ran technically for Congress and just made, you know, climate change my thing. So I think whoever's the first one to win, that will really be like, wow, that's really impressive and a signal of new change.
So she netted about 15% of the vote, which is still the strongest challenge that Peter DeFazio has faced in a long time. The last challenger got about 8,000 or 9,000
What do you think of DeFazio? Did he okay the Jordan Cove pipeline? I know Ty got in trouble for sitting in his office for too long.
You know, I don't need to go into that too much.
I was just curious.
Because... Sorry. There are a lot of strong arguments for why Peter DeFazio can make good change that is progressive and that just serves the community in general, whether or not you label it progressive.
And it all starts with a pipeline.
One of his big points is that Congress, whether we like it or not, is a seniority-based institution. The House of Representatives is. And that he is the chair of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which means that he can pass some bold legislation. And Oregon is certainly, and Southern Oregon is certainly in need of stronger transportation infrastructure. I need us to have high-speed rail. Come on, dog. Can you imagine getting to Portland in, like, 45, 50 minutes?
Killer. I don't know if you caught Albert Lee's. He said he just wants to get rid of all cars.
I know.
He took it one step further.
That's funny, because I actually brought that up on my episode with Doyle. I was like, I'm sitting in an electric car. I'm doing my best. I love my car, you know?
Yeah.
I also feel that as someone who believes they are on the autism spectrum, like, just my own personal sanctuary, being able to be away from anybody else is special to me. But gosh, there are so many fundamental needs that everybody needs to have. Everybody's housing needs to be met. People need to be able to have their sanctuary in that way. And it is true that it is a far less efficient thing to have everybody in their cars. What I would say to push back against Lee, though, is that his example was New York City. We need to be more like New York City. There are not a lot of places in Oregon that can feasibly be like New York City.
No.
I know that he was running to represent Portland and the smallest district in Oregon, but... Yeah. Him and Mark Gamba, all three, Canning, Gamba, and Lee all ran for Congress, and Gamba had the closest result, but Lee had a very similar turnout to Canning, which was roughly 15% of the vote.
Because it seemed like he had a killer following online. Like, he had the largest following that I'd seen in terms of Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter was working out well for him, it seemed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Twitter's an enigma. No.
But at the same time, I'm like expressing that I was hoping to see a greater successful turnout for these candidates who got 15. Mm-hmm. So kind of like throwing shade at them unintentionally, but also for myself, I only got 10. So
you got how much was it? 4,869?
4,856, I believe, as the final tally. But we have to recognize I ran in a field of 7 and those people ran in fields of 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I believe that if I ran in a field of 3 or 4, I probably would have netted 20%, maybe.
Look at all those.
More than that.
Beautiful big birds just flying around just for a split second.
Can we talk about how great this shot is? I love it. We're in 4K definition right now.
If you're listening to audio only, you don't even know what you're missing.
Y'all
don't even
know. Out. I think I had more things I wanted to say.
Really
about,
quick, can I get something
chat
off my chest that's been kind of weighing on me heavy for about a week now?
Of course.
I live so far out of town that I couldn't vote for anyone that I had on my show.
Really?
I don't live in Eugene.
Yeah.
It was killer. I couldn't vote for you.
So you
I couldn't vote
Tim,
for Tim.
You had Lee. You had
you.
Me.
You were probably my main one. I feel like I had one more, but I can't remember them off the top of my head.
You should have re-registered at your downtown address. But yeah. That's life. You know, it would have made a small difference, but not much of a difference. And so I mentioned that we spent $250,000. That is, hopefully people can recognize that means that we had no mailers. We had no flyers.
You said $250,000. You spent $250,000. You did not spend $250,000.
Thank you for catching me on that. $250,000. Been a long day. No yard signs, no digital ads. Just social media posts that are totally organic reach. And I didn't even do, I feel like on Facebook, I didn't bother people that much. I only posted my new podcast. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, I went kind of ham and I made a second gram where I ran a Humanity EUG news platform. And I, for a solid while there, I commented on news every single day and put issues out both nationally, globally, statewide, federal, and countywide. So
I like following it. And I just stopped watching all Instagram stories after a while. But here's the thing.
I can understand that.
The best ad online, just for people, don't ever spend money on Twitter ads. Facebook and Instagram ads are pretty shitty. Spotify ads.
You told me that before.
Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, you'll reach 100 people for 5 cents.
Okay.
And your ad plays.
Okay.
I'm one of those people who didn't have Spotify Premium until I found a school email I could use for it.
Yeah. I just stopped paying for Spotify Premium, but it was pretty cool while I had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a really late mover away from the iPod. Like, I have a friend who's like really still ardent about CDs and basically only listen to music on CDs in his band.
I have an iPod Touch. Like the little tiny square one that with the touch screen though.
Oh, I think you might be thinking of the Nano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the Nano doesn't have a screen, maybe. However, the one with the screen that's really small, and I've used it for thousands of hours.
Nano has a screen. Shuffle doesn't have a screen.
Oh, then yeah, I got the Nano. Nano, baby. Just like my
Hell yeah. But wow, I mean, the podcast revolution. I loved listening to podcasts by putting them on an MP3 player as a kid. And that felt cool. It's like, oh, a podcast came out today. I sync with my iTunes. I already have it today. Now it's like instantaneous.
Not like a kid as in like young.
Middle school, okay. Sixth grade, seventh grade.
Interesting.
Mugglecast was my favorite podcast.
I got into podcasts probably 13 months ago.
If anybody who is a fan of this show would like to hear a Harry Potter podcast, then let me know, because obviously I have a lot of ideas and I need to be pushed and to know that there's a worthwhile reason to do it in order to prioritize it against other ideas. But I would love to do a Harry Potter podcast. Mm-hmm. I adore that series.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. As a small, kind of plug mine?
Yeah.
Check out my show, Talks with Tiger. And also I'm starting to make EDM music. It'll come out on my Spotify as TYGER and just all podcast platforms. Look up Talks with Tiger episode with Rick Dancer, Tommy Hira, my buddy, and then also Dr. Nick Allen. Dr. Nick Allen's is the best. If you only listen to one, listen to like episode 73, 74, 75, or 76. Lots of love, everyone. Thank you for letting me plug it.
Of course. Thank you for giving me a chance to look at my notes again. I wanted to say a few of the impacts that COVID-19 had on the race. These candidate forums that would have been the only thing like a debate, which is what we really need. Like, I jumped into the race thinking nobody's challenging Mayor Lucy Vinnis to have a stronger sense of urgency, to be more truthful, to have values that get enacted in policy that are really progressive, you know, less tax breaks for the biggest developers, etc. And that would have been a really powerful space to do it, is the debates. I really like debate. I did it a lot in high school.
You're so
I can be a little deferential and a little bit sweet and stuff, but I mean, if you've seen me talk at the city council meetings, it is no holds barred aggression. Cause there's a place for that. There really is. And if you're not just like being,
an ass.
Frivolously upset or an ass about things that don't deserve it.
Those are the worst. I don't like being around those people. They just find things to complain about. I'm like, you gotta just stop. Just stop. Just enjoy what there is. Tend to the part of the garden you can touch.
It's been really interesting to see how I was received in the race because, some people thought I was a loony, zany musician who's not serious. Some people thought that I was too aggressive and too critical and harsh. But for the most part, people felt that I genuinely had a positivity and a warmth that was less negative and was more about bringing people together. And that's hopefully what came across.
No, I really responded and liked you because of your humanity. But I've got to admit, obviously not to the extent where I wouldn't vote for you. You're my number one pick. Mm. But the fact that you were doing things like rap videos was off-putting to me.
Okay.
As a voter, because I was like, well, is he going to be doing that in office, or that's time he could be doing this and this? And I understand. Hmm. You still have a life, and you still, I don't know why. Man.
Unapologetically into hip-hop as a means of social change, education, and disseminating knowledge. So I can totally understand that I didn't execute those very well in a lot of ways, and they were kind of rushed in some way. I mean, 16 and 16 on 16 was a series where I just wrote a 16-bar verse in 16 minutes because my friend Just Wolf had inspired me to do it. The feature-length video that I put out was affected by the fact that I didn't get to film in the locations that I wanted, and I didn't have as much music as I wanted. I talked about it in the pamphlet as an I'm talking about mistakes I made too. An unfortunate circumstance, but it was also my failing too.
I was totally messing with you. Making actual like films are so incredibly difficult to find places to get people to feed people to. So difficult. That is the hardest endeavor I've ever attempted, is actually making films, like short films of any kind.
Yeah. Even for a 3-5 minute thing. Yeah. It's a lot of work. So shouts to the people that are making film, because it's a powerful medium. Another thing that was unfortunate is compared to 2016, Bernie Sanders and really what people call the Sanders wing of the party, progressive wing of the party didn't have much of a champion at the time that the Oregon primary happened, because it was all sealed up by Joe Biden being the presumptive nominee. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if Bernie was still in the race? Now, I disagree that it would have been smart for him to be there, because I believe in what he did, which was to recognize that mathematically it wasn't going to happen for him. But if it had happened for him more, and if he had been able to continue enough momentum to make the case that he was making, Doyle would have done better. You know, all those congressional candidates I mentioned before would have done better. And I believe that people like the Solidarity Platform, Zondi Zinke, those people who are running an unabashedly far left and progressive platform together would have seen stronger results. So that was a bummer. I did skip over, and I forgot to mention, the county commissioners. Those are a very important role. They make way more money, too. They make over $80,000.
Which you considered running for.
I did. When briefly. Well, you know, let me at least shout out all the candidates, because I thought about doing like a story of the campaign, but there's enough that I could write in a book, and I'm thinking about writing a book about it instead, about my experience.
The 2020 election of Eugene, Oregon.
No, it would be something more like how to run for mayor and other shit no one told me.
Nice.
Robert Patterson jumped in the race, early on, relatively speaking. And he and I, got to know each other initially. And I was excited about many of the things he was fired up about, and so much so that I, early on believed that I would run for county commissioner. I even built my website when I was running for county commissioner.
Then you had a lover instead. Spat, and ever since then?
Well, I had a lot of things. I moved out of the place that I was living at. I had a conflict with my mom where, you know, it's kind of well documented. I put it in the pamphlet.
That'd be so funny if you didn't get kicked out and the mayor of Eugene lived with their mom. That would have been hilarious.
I think it would have been fucking hilarious. But yeah, that probably would be another thing. Like, people don't take that seriously. Is like, this person was living with their mom beforehand.
And then they're
living
in their car.
And I had moved back from New York and from Minnesota where I was living.
Minnesota. No, and then you're living in your car, though. I'm sure that some people held that against you.
Probably. But, you know, it's all love, and I just want to say that you're right. I did think about running for county commissioner before. Just to recap, in the South Eugene race, where there was no incumbent, there was Matt Moore came in fourth, Sandra Bishop came in third, Joel Eboa came in second, and Lori Krieger came in first.
He's another person.
That's true. You couldn't have voted for him either. But
he's another candidate I had on my thing.
True.
Although
he wasn't able to talk about his race when he was on your show, because he was on the clock.
I really like Joel Eboa, though.
Tons of amazing work he's done, and really bright. It feels like cliche to say bright future, because he's already been doing shit. He's already, like, he's very much a part of the conversation of leadership.
You can still have a bright future. You have a bright past, too.
I like that. I'm brightly staring into the sun right behind you.
Yeah, you are.
So that will be a top two runoff in November with Krieger and Eboa. I would love to have either of them on the show if they're interested. And the North Eugene commissioner seat, there are five commissioner seats in Lane County. The North Eugene one was won by Pat Farr, the incumbent, who's the longtime incumbent, has a lot of experience in government, is seen by many as somebody who is more conservative, but who tends to compromise a lot, and who has a lot of credibility and appreciation from people all across the political spectrum. You know, some people probably have criticisms of him, but he's also been somebody who I've known and who I believe brings a lot to the table. He had a challenger named Andrew Ross, who got, I think, about 40% of the vote in a two-person race. So that was a pretty strong challenge mounted by former attorney Andrew Ross. Basically made a case that Farr isn't well known in North Eugene, which I think was not a particularly strong case to make, because I think Farr is well known and certainly had a lot of yard signs and people supporting him all throughout West and North Eugene. The district is kind of like, it's titled North Eugene, but it's also dips into West Eugene quite a bit, I would say. And he also, Ross, made the case that Sorensen leaving meant that there wouldn't be a lawyer, a, like, legal mind on the Board of Commissioners. And so that's a case that Ross made. But yeah, that pretty much covers those races. The district attorney was reelected. Patty Perlow successfully reelected, though she had a formidable challenge from James Clevenger. So shouts to those people. And... but I wanted to name drop everybody in this mayoral race, which is ostensibly what this is about.
Crazy. Right? You remembered everyone's name. I mean, you did read them off the teleprompter right behind your phone. It would have been crazy if you had. No, I'm kidding. That's nuts.
What an amazing teleprompter that is a Bush. What if it was like George Bush just holding up a sign like, hey, you going to say my name?
George Bush Sr., literally like a 200-year-old man.
The funny thing is, I just did a small George Bush impression, but it sounded more like Bill Clinton. Mm. Hey, can I walk you home? Hey, can I walk you home? Big difference. Arkansas and Texas are very different.
They're unbelievably different.
So, Robert jumped into the race as the first person who I knew was definitely going to jump in. Early on, it seemed that someone named Mandy Chappell, who I had on the show, was going to run, and she was going to be basically the most conservative candidate. There was also somebody, Jason Mead, who works in the city's risk management department, who was thinking about running as well. Neither of them ultimately did, and I got the endorsement of Mandy, so that was nice. Stefan Streck was going to be in the race. He's a conservative. He's run for a lot of shit before, and never had too much traction electorally. But those didn't end up happening, and instead we had the Solidarity Platform, three candidates of the mayoral race, five candidates overall, and that was Zondi Zinke, Stacey Westover, and Ben Ricker. And so I got to know all those people, Westover a little less than the others, it was a real pleasure to run alongside those people because they're fierce.
Is Zondi going to keep the Solidarity Platform going?
That is something that she is very excited about doing. And it was mostly, she is the kind of, I don't know if she would even accept this praise, but she was kind of the focal centerpiece of that movement. But everybody in that movement was involved. And I look forward to seeing what they do in the future, absolutely. But I can't count out Matthew Uecke as well. I've talked about Robert Patterson, who got over 1,500 votes, and Matthew Uecke, I think, got about 1,200. And that is a guy who I love and who I've become good friends with. We chat often and has a lot of experience, particularly with boards and organizations that represent the interests of the AAPI, Asian American Pacific Islander community here in Eugene. So at first when he jumped in, I was like, my Asian vote is going to be carved away a little bit. But that's
racist.
Not really how people think about elections as much as I maybe that they might have. But
you thought like, they're Asian, I'm Asian, they'll vote for me? Or like, someone's, oh, I want to vote for an Asian candidate, now I have two options.
One and a half if you count my mixed race identity.
I don't count you as full.
And since I did the order before, I'll just say that Lucy, she kicked butt. Register Guard did name me as the second place finisher, so that was exciting. But like other KLCC and Weekly, I don't think did. They were just like, Lucy Venice won resoundingly. I was like, okay, that's, I can't lie. If I wasn't in the race, I would have to admit that that's true.
And she paid resoundingly.
Yes, but in her defense,
nothing. She's indefensible. It's crazy.
People have spent orders of magnitude more.
On a mayoral race?
I heard that Jim Torrey spent about $500,000 to win the mayoral race.
Where is that at?
Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, wow. That's absurd. I wonder if Joe Rogan ran for like mayor of LA, if he'd win without spending any money. He could just say it on a show.
I mean, Cenk Uygur had a lot of... has a lot of reach with the Young Turks, but his congressional campaign did not find much traction at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how these things go. So Lucy won. I came in second, about 10% of the vote. And Stacey Westover got 2,500, 6% of the vote. So that was exciting for her. Zondi Zinke came in third with 5% of the vote. Below that would have been Patterson and then Uecke And then Ricker? Yeah, did I get all that right? I really hope I didn't leave anyone out. That would be very embarrassing.
I'm going to run for office at some point in life. I'm only 22, so I'm probably going to run when I'm 32. Give myself 10 years.
Perfect. Why not?
Straight for president. You got to be 35. So I'm going to run in 30, 32. I'm running for president.
I just... Part of the way that I approached this, Tiger, truly, is that I wanted to run based on my values. And, you know, you talk about hip-hop and
I don't have values. All that. Shit.
All I was saying is I didn't spend money because I don't believe money should be so such a determining factor in campaigns. I believe that elections should be publicly funded, or at least much more so. We should gradually move towards the public funding of elections. Think about the responsibilities that government has, you know, making sure that the roads don't have snow on them if you're in Minnesota, making sure that you know, people have basic healthcare needs met, that there's public assistance for housing and food, and you know, keeping us safe.
Libertarians everywhere tuning off, like actual anti-government libertarians.
Oh, no, all zero of the libertarians. No, I got love for libertarians. So yeah, man, it was something where I wanted to live up to that, and I really wanted to not mold myself to be the kind of politician that I believed would have the best chance of winning, but would instead run with a lot of integrity and with truthfulness about how I feel, even if that meant that I was, by some measures, the most conservative candidate in the race. Venice is really the most conservative, I would say, on if you look at their record and my record. But I was really, you know, I had a conservative dignity initiative as one of my policies. I wanted to really try to humanize people who, especially in the K-12 schools, have you known people who, like, their parents are, you know, Republican, and they just, like, feel really ostracized by not only teachers but fellow peers for having their view, and they feel like they have to be shut into a corner about it?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Bummer.
Interesting. Yeah. But I guess in all of school, I didn't care about politics whatsoever until pretty much this year, and now I'm already back out of it because I'm like, oh, it's hopeless.
Yeah. Yeah, you do have that feeling, I've noticed, about that.
It's a brutal campaign.
Yeah.
Or a brutal year. Yeah, just for absolutely. Everyone. Everyone I was hoping for, no one made it, to the point where I'm like, should I just start hoping for the people I don't want to win so that they lose?
The only other thing I had in my notes that I wanted to make sure I covered was actually two things. One, Alex Scarlatos beat Nelson EG in the Republican primary for the district here that we live in, Oregon's 4th congressional district. He won resoundingly, and that was obvious to people who were analysts. Nelson, I would have loved to have on the show, but he kind of kept flaking out on me. So much love to that guy. Yeah, it just happens. He's a busy person. And I appreciate the campaign that he ran. Scarlatos, in my opinion, really just doesn't bring the kind of, I know that people said, I'm not qualified, but this is a guy who is, I'm not familiar with anything that he's done, in whether it be student government or policymaking or, anything. But he does have military experience, which, you know, is relevant to the federal government for sure. But you know, he basically touts his, performance, literally a performance where he played himself in a Clint Eastwood movie about how he stopped a terrorist on a Paris-bound train. So the thing with him, he's a young person. I think he's like 28 or something, maybe even younger. He's going to go against Peter DeFazio, and he's going to get a lot of votes. I don't think that he will win, but there is a lot of excitement for people wanting to see new leadership here in this district, for sure. Mm-hmm. Peter's been in office for like 32 years. And the thing is, the national GOP really is probably going to pump a lot of money into this kid's campaign.
Oh,
so
cool.
So we'll see how Scarlatos and DeFazio do in the fall. But the funny thing is, kind of related to that, is I have it on good authority that Peter DeFazio has said many times that Art Robinson was the best thing to ever happen to him.
Yeah.
So Art Robinson, ardent conservative from...
Piss collector.
Cave Junction. You know, he's got, on paper, he's got some impressive things to boast about.
Like, he is a scientist.
He is. And he's got, like, his kids have, like, a combined, like, five or six doctoral degrees.
Yeah, but that's not him. What does that mean?
don't you think that being a parent is like a challenging thing to do? And when you raise a kid, you get to have some level of pride in what your kids have accomplished.
But that doesn't make you any smarter of a human being to have kids who got PhDs.
You don't think that that makes you any smarter of a human being?
How many shithole parents end up having kids that resent their parents and go off and do great things just to resent their parents?
I think that if that was the case, then you might have one or two kids who are PhD. But I think that it's speaks to successful parenting when your kids have that many academic accolades. But that's a very ivory tower way of looking at things anyway. He is still the same guy who has asked people to send him urine samples, which doesn't help his credibility all that much.
I would say you're a wealthy parent.
The reason I bring him up is because five times in a row he lost to DeFazio, but was the Oregon Republican. The Republican Party in Oregon likes him, and he did a successful job there getting that nomination. But he actually pulled out of this what would have been the sixth time in March, and has expressed that he wants to run for Congress again in the future, but instead he saw there was an opportunity to run for the state Senate in, I believe, Oregon's second Senate district.
You can't run for two things at once?
No. And
run for all of them, see which one you get.
I think I actually could have run for a county seat and a city seat at the same time, but I thought I couldn't run for, like, city council and mayor at the same time. Mm. But, yeah, dude, that guy won the Republican primary because the guy from Grants Pass stepped down, is saying he's not seeking re-election. So this guy in Cave Junction is going to be the Republican nominee for that seat, and it's a very red district. So Art Robinson is finally going to be an elected official.
Wow.
From there, don't you think that if he has that on his resume, he might actually be able to stand a little more of a chance if he ran against DeFazio again?
Yeah. What's the most percent of votes he's gotten against DeFazio?
I don't have those numbers. And I think that he's probably lost, the closest he's lost probably like 7 percentage points.
Oh, wow.
Like something like that's 45 to 52 or something like that. But mostly he's done not as successful as that. Yeah. So those are all the things that I made sure that I wanted to recap.
Nice. And we're at an hour.
Are we?
But I do have a question for you. Just to get a sense of what kind of human being you are. If right now you asked someone to be on your show and they kind of blew you off, not like really rudely, but they clearly just blew you off. And then 2 months later, your show grows quite a bit. And then they asked to be on your show. What would you do? Would you let them on?
That's a really difficult hypothetical because I would have to have... know the who it is and the reasons for it. I would say broadly that I probably it would depend on how they blew me off.
They just like message you back. They're like, yeah, maybe, and then they just never message you back or something.
See, those are annoying when it's a little up in the air like that. I would appreciate a straightforward answer and just say no.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, recently I've had a lot of people who want to be on my show. So
awesome.
If I'm right now, I've been doing weekly, but I might start doing bonus episodes / multiple times per week if there are more people who want to do it.
You could always do one on here and then one just on your Patreon or something. That's true. What some people do.
Yeah, I don't really do Patreon. I did make one, but I never promoted it. Thank you, man, for this opportunity to chat with you about all this stuff.
Chat with me. Talk at me like a mannequin. Like a therapist. I'm like a political therapist. You got 10%, and you gave a lot of commendations. I mean, that's the most impressive thing, that you remembered people's names and numbers. It's absurd.
Well, this is also a part of the Humanity EUG news platform, and I want to do some coverage. I want to sort of hybridize this personal journal with recognizing that there aren't a lot of options for people to get coverage about this race.
Yeah.
I hope that I did enough justice to the election. And this is one of the shorter episodes. If you're gonna throw mild shade and say that I have talked to you like a mannequin, you know.
Wait, what time are we at?
Well, we're at almost an hour.
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, let's hit an hour. I've just been cold. That's unbelievable. You're not chilly?
I got no shoes on because my phone, which is recording this on video, is sitting in my shoe. But no, I actually, to be honest, I'm a little chilly. Yeah, I won't front about that. Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually a fun hike. I haven't hiked this, obviously, since last summer. As I was driving here, I'm like, this is probably closed, isn't it? So I looked up Spencer's. Is Spencer's open? And Spencer's, the store, came up closed. I'm like, fuck, I'm driving there for no reason.
Nice.
But luckily it was open.
Let me give you a chance for maybe 5 minutes at least to interview you a little bit about your show or ask you some questions.
Beautiful. I get to talk. I never get to talk.
Talks with Tiger host. Doesn't talk. Weird.
I pretty much exclusively talk over guests for people who don't listen. Curious.
I love your show, though. It's been two podcasts have been the biggest inspiration for me to start my own. One of them is Conservatish by Peter Feliciano. I can have a hard time recommending it because he gets really offensive sometimes. He really does.
Alex Jonesy offensive or just regular?
No, I mean, he's got well thought out ideas. It's just sometimes.
What are you alluding to there?
So, okay. Like, he did an episode.
No, just alluding that Alex Jones doesn't have well thought out ideas. He said he'd eat his neighbors.
Dude, Alex Jones thinks that people are making the frogs gay.
He thinks he'll eat globalist ass.
Why are we talking about that? I'll give you 5 minutes to talk about your show.
All right. Give it. I was your biggest inspiration.
What episodes do you think my audience might like from your show?
Okay, like I said, episode 73, 74, 75.
Mm-hmm. But like, are those specific for my audience? What do you think?
Yeah, no, and those are the Rick Dancer and the Nick Allen, mm-hmm. And then Joey Rincon's was unbelievably good. It was 2 hours long, and even though it was just with a friend, it was hands down probably my favorite episode to record. And that's one that like I think forever I'll be just grateful that guest came on. He told such a genuine story about like he was like, I'm addicted to heroin.
That's powerful.
It was unbelievably enjoyable speaking with him. And then right after that, and the reason that was because that was happening like early March 13th when I was featured on Podcast of the Week on two different platforms.
Nice.
Kind of is right when coronavirus hit.
Okay.
And I just felt like it did kind of stunt the opportunity a little bit, but I think we're always looking for excuses why I didn't go over and above. But I think as a general thing, it did pretty well. I'm very happy. But so I saved and put out my best episodes then. It's like right around the early 70s.
Right on.
Your first appearances on my show, they were some pretty transformational shifts in my show's structure, especially episode 9. The first time you came on was one of like the three largest changes that I made to the show, just so you know.
Speak more about that.
It changed more from a interview to a conversation.
Cool.
Because before that...
Yeah, people like... I love Maya Rabassa, a good friend of mine, like has basically said, I've interviewed the other candidates in the race, and that's somewhat true, but I do not like to think about it like that.
Mm-mm.
You know? It's a podcast and it's a conversation.
Yeah. And then you invite people and then they're on the spot where they're like, oh, am I even worth it being interviewed? And it's like, I don't want people to think that. It's just a conversation. It's going to be light, you know? Then if anyone wants to come on my show and just talk for an hour and kick it and have a bunch of people listen to you, especially if you live in Eugene, I will not do Zoom. I've done two because they're from pretty successful people in San Francisco. Like, I'd like to kind of actually go down there and visit them.
Okay.
Those were the only exceptions I'm making. It's like actually like successful people away from Eugene. Someone in Eugene's like, can we do a Zoom? I'm like, you live here. Are you kidding me? Not a chance.
Okay. Well, especially now that we are in phase one of reopening. And so we can do some amount of visiting each other and hanging out. Like you and I didn't yardstick this out. We might be 5.5 feet apart.
No. Frankly. Yeah, my big 2,000 people orgies have been locked down, which has been by far my least favorite part of this whole... It's affecting me so much.
Isn't this funny how I've been, like, promoting this as, like, oh, this is my little recap. It's a news show about the election. And then my guest is, like, referring to multiple thousands of people having group sex.
Well, no, so, I had someone on my... Because I didn't know those actually existed. I had someone on my show who said he was a vendor. At very, very, very large orgies like that.
Okay.
I was like, are you serious? A vendor? No, he said it was out of like tubes, like tires and stuff. He'd make everything from like wallets to whips.
Flavored condoms here, $5, cherry, root beer.
No, it was like, that's unbelievable. I'm like, are you stuck behind the booth? He's like, no, you can go join in. Then you're back behind the booth. I'm like,
I bet you can overcharge too. Cause some of the products is like, there's a sense of urgency.
I need a whip now or a flog. His episode actually hasn't come out as of recording this. It'll be coming out next week though.
Okay, right on.
Next week. Love that dude. Tyler Dones.
Cool. It's been really fun, but if we want to keep up consistency, like you said at the beginning with the initial controversial question, what's the response you're going to give this time? What's a way we could all be a little less stupid, Tiger?
Ooh, watch Talks with Tiger. Did I say that last time, too? Did I say
it? It's not even a video.
Listen to Talks with Tiger. I don't do video. I'm too lazy for that. No, man. I'm not too lazy. It's just a lot of effort.
This is how you do it. People think I'm about self-promo. You are on brand, dude.
Just, I'm on brand.
You know your episode numbers. You know what you're about. And it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah. Lots of love for everyone listening. Thank you. If you made it this far, you clearly very much care about Eugene politics. So,
right on.
I do speak with candidates, and Thomas comes on the show quite often.
Cool. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Peace.